from all of us here, have a merry, merry Christmas. 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. There's a place where you can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue like this.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
The facts are glaring. It's point blank.
It's better for how big.
And back of the biggest talk on your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info.
The facts are glaring. It's point blank.
It's better to have little than the blessings of God, that you have much more than the small blessings of God.
But people need to see, know, and hear.
When you return that money, you hear the message.
Whatever is not yours, even if you kill yourself, it will not come. That's my opinion.
So do share the facts on Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts. With Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Good afternoon to you, you, and you. Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. I'm super excited, super stoked to be back here today for more conversations with you. And there is so much to talk about, so much to look at, so much to hear from you on the show today. My name is Kimberly Wanchuku. You can call me Kim. That's what my cool friends call me. You call me the Oracle, like Alex likes to call me. And I'll be here till 7 p.m. And once I'm done, I'll hand over the baton to the A-team. And the A-team will hand it over to Black Coffee for Talk Night with black coffee. So on the show today, we'll start off looking at some of the big stories driving conversation as we do every weekday on the roundtable. Kolawole Johnson, communication strategist, will be joining me. I thought it was going to be via telephone, but I called him a few seconds back and he said, you know what, I'm on my way to the studio. I said, all right, makes it even better. So he'll be joining us any minute now in the studio for the roundtable. And I would have some incredible champions. I call them champions because that's what they are. They are cohorts from different states, Plateau State, Kaduna State, who are champions of peace in their community. Young people who have now become that agent of change that we're looking at. If you know Plateau State and Kaduna State very well, you know that two of the states where we have, it's not just general insecurity or banditry. There's always been that underlining ethno-religious situation, conflict in the state. And they're helping change the narrative. They're helping correct some of the anomalies in that state. Young people who are saying, enough, we can do better. We can unite. We can go past the things that separate us and focus on the many things that bind us together. And so I would have a representative from Plateau, Kaduna State of the Middle Belt Youth Peace Building Academy Project join me as we look at young people and peace building. As a matter of fact, I was at their event today. It was incredible, and you know, I've been excited since yesterday to have them on the show to talk about young people and the role they play in peace building. And there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot, I promise you, on the show today. So you're going to stay with me. I'll go on a quick break, and when I return, I'll get started looking at some of the big stories. I hope my guests will be here then. So, I hope you're taking care of yourself, you're staying hydrated. A number of people know it's not Omicron talk, I'm serious, but it's, the weather is changing. And a lot of people seem to be coming under some sort of fever. And so just take care of yourself, eat right, stay hydrated, take your vitamins for those who, you know, get balanced. If you know you don't eat a balanced diet, make sure you're supplementing right with the right, you know, supplements, and just stay in stay healthy. That's what I'm trying to say in summary. Because you know, when someone like small fever, I said, have you tested for, you know, everything is Omicron now? But I'm just kidding. It's not. It's the weather is changing, and more people seem to be having all kinds of fevers go on. But remember, do not self-medicate. Always make sure you go for your test. Let's know what we're dealing with beyond you just assuming it's malaria. Okay? Mosquitoes are not to blame for every fever or feverish condition you have. No, sir. Doesn't work that way. So I'll go on a quick break, and when I return, we'll get started looking at the big stories.
That there are blessings of God, that you have much more, that there are more blessings of God.
But people need to see, know, and hear.
When you return that money, you hear the message.
Whatever is not yours, even if you kill yourself, it cannot come. And that's my opinion.
So do share the facts on Heart Facts.
Heart Facts.
Heart Facts. With Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
my guest is here. Finally, I've got Kolawole Johnson with me in the studio, and he's a communication strategist and, well, a journalist also. Thank you so, so much for being here on the show. I know the initial plan, you were in a meeting, and so we're going to do via telephone, but somehow you wrapped up early enough to be here.
Good afternoon, Nigerians, and maybe I should inform you all, since you can't see her. Kim is looking hot in the studio. Very hot.
Thank
you. Our host has Nigeria jollof rice.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm trying not to blush. Okay, so together we'll be looking at some of the stories. I mean, we're seeing gunmen abduct mother of COS to Governor Bello Kogi State. It tells you how the state of security is in Nigeria at the moment. Yesterday on the roundtable, we also looked at the response of the presidency to an editorial that was written at the Daily Trust newspaper. Why are you laughing? Did you listen to the conversation yesterday?
No, it was the, you know, the response of Garbashehu.
Yes, we
the
actually
way
did
described
lurid political journalist.
Kai. That guy is got some very toxic grammar.
Alright, talking about grammar, I don't know if it's grammar semantics.
No, see, he's doing his job. You know, you can take it, he's doing his job.
He has to earn his keep, but that's what
of
he
course,
was employed
for. You don't expect
for.
The presidency to clap for, you know, for anyone who must have summoned the courage to bring such out. Now, don't forget this, that there is something common to government in Nigeria. Mm. No, not just in Nigeria. Basically, across the globe, but it's in varying degree.
Mm.
Government, a lot of times, they don't want to see that fault that they have. They prefer they own up than you bringing it out to haunt them. Especially such as these that are men. You don't see the kind of data we have in Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
and you think you will sit as a government to clap when such is brought out, you know, to your face.
Yeah.
However, rather than, you know, bringing up such energy in deploying semantics against truth, you can as well, you know, get to work and do something about the truth. And he played on intelligence by saying that, oh, it's a time for us to you know, to come together, you know, to arrest the situation, not for us to, you see, it is part of our coming together to arrest the situation is when we are able to tell the truth to power.
Mm.
Because a lot of times the president don't get to hear the truth. You know, they come to him with all manner of lies just to ensure that they keep their daily, you know, bread. So our job is to bring out this truth. So our own way of coming together to solve the problem is when we bring the problem to the fore, because a lot of times we push it to the back. Now, sometimes back, remember, on this same show, when one person is killed, I mean, when we have just perhaps a death or two, it wasn't making headline again. And I was shouting that this is becoming a norm. I mean, it is becoming a new normal for us. We no longer shout when you hear such stories. We're not making the headline again.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you know, it was getting bad. And now we're at that point that 40 killed. It's not making any special headline again. Nobody's crying. Of course. So we didn't get there yesterday. Or, I mean, when that story broke out.
Yeah.
When Daily Trust did that. It has been happening.
Mm.
And what exactly has been the response of the government?
Mm.
Now, each time you hear, oh, we've given directives. Directives don't do this. It is when you're able to take these guys down that will clap for you. Of course, see, you know that the work of government is difficult at such a time, you know, as this. However, we pushed ourselves to this dead end. You can bear witness, Kim. I'm using your show as an example because, you know, we are privileged to be in this space today, and you won't be there forever. But what you've done, you know, right in the space will speak for you either today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make reference to those things that we, you know, shared on this same show, you know, few years back. I remember saying that this same insecurity that we appear to be, you know, tearing in some part of the country today will engulf everyone. I said this thing will be served to everybody. And it has gotten to that stage now. Now, let me use one example. 2017, early first quarter of the year, when we had such, no, I think it's 2018, early 2018, when we had that carnage in Benue State.
Yeah.
And there was this, you know, back and forth push. Oh, I told you, I didn't tell you. The governor said, we informed the presidency of this impending attack. The presidency said, no, you didn't inform us. And the man brought out the letter. Of course, what did the president, you know, what did they do? They launched attack against this guy. Now, I should expect that when the person brought a letter informing you of an impending attack, that you should have, you know, taken an action against that. He didn't take any action. Rather, when the man chose to bury them openly, you took an offense that he was campaigning with that. Mm. So why didn't you stop the attack in the first instance? So we have seen a presidency that is so, or that has taken the posture of, one, you either blame another person for the woes that you refuse to checkmate or stop, or after it happened, you want us to keep quiet without discussing that, without mentioning that. Don't forget again that bandits today, I mean banditry today, that has taken a new dimension. They didn't get here. They got here when they were killing people in their different farms, setting ablaze villages, and the government decided to give them good name.
I don't understand what you mean by the government. Where did that name came from? Bandit.
Who gave them? Well, oh, please, trace the back. Garuba Shehu. Trace the back. When we should have taken these guys on, we're romancing them.
But bandits are not even a good name. I'm just trying to point out that being called a bandit is not good by any stretch of the imagination.
Of course. It's a way of watering down the weight. At first, when people come to a farm to kill people, we said X-Men attack. He said, no, it is farmers' X-Men clashes. We started from there. They started giving them those good names until they became monsters. So, Kim, if the presidency is getting our fingers poked in their eyes today, it is because they refuse to arrest these situations before now. However, I still believe that we should also find a way of helping the government, because now it is critical. Mm. Like I would always say, times like this, they are not times for popular decisions, okay? So governance in critical time, I will always say that it is not a popularity contest. You take decisions that majority may even say no to. Yeah. Now, take, for example, in Lagos State, when Fashola first got to power, then 2008-09, go check the record. A lot of Lagosians were practically cursing this guy every day. Mm. I was standing at Agege the very day that they demolished some area just to create a path for the bridge work, trying to construct. Come and see curses. But few months down the lane, when the guy finished that road, Nigerian. Lagosians were praising him. So same thing with us. When you do well, we praise you. But this time around, perhaps the government, the FG is doing, maybe they are doing some few things that are not bringing results yet. So what we can only do is to say, okay, please speed up what you're doing. Let them give us results. Why we appeal to Nigerians to be a bit patient with the government. But when we bring the truth to your face, don't tell us to keep quiet. Don't describe us. Please, that line, you can remind me again, that line.
The lurid political journalism. Lurid political. I need to check that one very well.
You need to. Go right. To be back on air again anyway.
Thank you. It really is great to have you live in the studio. If you didn't buy telephone. And while we're still looking at this issue of security, the Katsina State governor is trying to clarify on what really happened. As Aminu Masari, what happened to Rabi Nasser, the State Commissioner for Science and Technology? You know, it's reported that he was murdered by unknown gunmen. So people just concluded that, all right, this bandit and Yambindigas are at it again and have killed another Nigerian. But he's saying he was assassinated and it kind of gives it a different spin. What I get from it is we're dealing with insecurity. A man can get killed in his own home. But apparently, to help with the narrative, to help manage and box everything right, to say He was assassinated. It could be political, it could be any reason, even though he didn't give much of the detail. An investigation is still ongoing. I don't know how. He's the executive governor. I'm sure he's privy to a lot of first-hand security information coming to him. But he said the commissioner was assassinated at his residence. The Katsina State Government governor spoke on the incident on Tuesday after meeting with the president at the presidential villa and described the killing as an assassination, saying it has nothing to do with banditry. The incident we had last week had nothing to do with it. It was purely an assassination by unknown gunmen, which the police and other security agencies are working around the clock to unravel what happened. Because my commissioner was killed by unknown assassin, not a single pin was stolen in his house. You could see this was pure crime that has to be fully investigated for us to know the root cause and why. And said the Northwestern state need to adopt a uniform policy in order to tackle insecurity bedeviling the zone. Two things here. I mean, we're quick to just jump at any of this kind of killing and say, oh, bandits, yambindikas, all these things, right? But underneath it all, there could just also be the very calculated assassination. But why was he assassinated? The police is still investigating. And so the governor just saying, Mr. President, he was assassinated. He was not banned because nothing was removed from his home.
Okay.
It's interesting to look at it from that perspective.
You know, very interesting because the governor has access to daily security report.
Mm.
At times, twice daily, you know. So I want to believe that he's speaking from an informed position. However, the caveat he added would open my investigative eyes to start looking deeply. He said because nothing was removed from his eyes. So it appears he's not talking from any concrete security information. He only put the nexus or just, you know, the logic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because nothing was removed from his home.
So
it therefore means that he was assassinated. Now, for me, that would be a wrong generalization. No, you can't just conclude. If that is the only variable that gave him that conclusion, then I will say I can also probe and say, no, bandit may not necessarily come to steal anything in your house. He may see you as a threat. Their group may see you as a threat. So what they can do is to take you out of the way. Number two.
Or send fear down the state. I mean,
of course.
You hit at a high profile person. People
number two. I was not going there.
Uh-huh.
Remember that some persons negotiated with the governor, they are back, you know, again.
Yes.
To the trenches. No, they are back to their, you know, their different hideout. And the governor has been talking tough lately. You know, he's no longer the same person that went to, you know, negotiate with the bandits and even pose for a photograph. And that, while that one was holding some AK-47, you know, with his guys, you know, wielding all manner of arms, they posed four photographs. So he's no longer, it seems not to be on that path again. At least some few months back, he was talking tough. So who says that these guys won't come to town to just like hunt the government by hitting someone down? Unfortunately, this guy is a friend to quite a number of journalists.
Let's just take a break, a quick one for commercial. We'll pick it up from this point after this quick break. Stay with us.
New shows, new hosts, new realities, true conversations, trustworthy ideas, shared passionately on your number one talk station of the nation. Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja. Let's talk.
Continue with the conversation. Still looking at Katsina State story. The president, remember, gave a marching order to some security chiefs to go there and find out what really is happening and give recommendations. Governor is saying assassinated has nothing to do with banditry, even though investigation is still going on. But the fact that nothing was removed is giving its reason. So you're giving us two perspectives.
Yeah, and
let's look at more.
The third is this. This is a possibility. Mind you, I'm not saying that was what happened. Now, when you go to negotiate, you come back, you are talking tough, and these guys just come at you. Boom. If he senses that it is these guys, and there are openings for peace, there are possibilities that the governor, the one may want to just talk less about them, so that the opening for peace, you know, could still be left open. You get this. Mm. However, in doing that, it shouldn't have also given us a blanket info when investigation is still ongoing and the police are yet to submit anything. Now, having said this now, he has also put the, you know, security agencies on the spot. So he has eliminated other areas now. So they, perhaps if they want to follow what he said, they will just be working on assassination. And if it was not, actually, they may never get to the root of this issue. Mm. And again, even if it was not assassination, if it was banditry, would they ever get to the root? Question came.
Well, let's hope for that miracle that they start to get to the root of it. And talking about getting to the root, we need concerted effort. The governor also did talk about Northwest region having a uniform policy on security. We've seen Amoteko, we've seen Ebubeago, even though one can't tell much of what is coming out from the Southeastern, particularly Ebubeago right now. It doesn't seem very coherent. But the Northwest, which is like the hotbed for it at the moment, doesn't have any kind of like synergy in how they work.
Now, governance is kind of difficult in Nigeria because of the structure of the country. And at times when I'm trying to criticize some policies, you sit back and you're able to identify, you know, what they have to contend with or against. You may want to, you know, be fair. In fact, not be fair, you would just want to be fair at all times, whether you even see or not. Here is the truth. Because of our dichotomy as a country, don't forget that our coming together as one Nigeria, people have said a lot of times that forget this forceful mixture. Perhaps we should accept our differences and be able to work together, not in our differences. Now, because of our differences, we hardly agree on some few things that some other parts bring to the table for the progress of the nation. Mm. One is the Amotekun that was formed in the Southwest. I remember how the federal government rose against it via the Attorney General of the Federation. It was not an easy issue. In fact, the Southwestern governors, they had to put their foot on the ground to ensure that that scale through. We knew all along that state police will come one way or the other. We're only deceiving ourselves by saying, no, it is the same federal structure. Even when some argued that the nation is not ripe enough for state police because the governors will use them to their advantage at perhaps election or so.
Yeah.
And you ask a question, is the federal government not enjoying the monopoly of the army, of the police, of, you know, of other security agencies during election? Even though most of the things you would bring to the table now would have their own disadvantages. Mm. But you can't again ignore the fact that every structure at critical times like these will have their own disadvantages. See, when you get into some starting stages of problem management, when you do not manage problem at the stage of issues, the moment they dovetail to crisis, you can't bring perfect solutions that will not have some side effect. You only take the ones with the least side effect and that will have the maximum result. And such is what you have with the state police. Now, it's coming through the back door gradually. Amoteku, you know, is there for the Southwest. Even though they are not allowed to carry arms, and you cannot face some bandits with heavy ammunition, arms, with your stick. Yeah. It won't work. Now, they can't even make arrests without submitting them to the police. However, it is checkmating some few things, at least in some few areas, even though there are rooms to do so much more. Now, when that started, remember that the Northwestern governors did not support, because that should have been settled at the governor's round table, at the governor's forum. Each state grapples with its own insecurity issue, but of course, at varying degree. Now, you should expect them to speak with one voice and come up with different things in their different domain. After all, the president has abused the governors, that they always run to him when there are issues in their state, when they have collected money.
Is that abuse? The president did not abuse anyone. However,
no, it's an abuse. You know why?
I do not.
Okay, when a state chose to do something, did the government now not rise against them? Not even indirectly, directly. Now, come again here. Who has the responsibility for security? It is the federal government. So if everything was being pushed away from President Buhari, what exactly would be his duty? Come on. The ministers will try to see him. He said, no, go and see the chief of staff. He said, don't continue, come to the... So what exactly is my president doing there? Kim, I can talk because I didn't start supporting him in 2015. 2003. So not be yesterday. And I did not support him then to come and be, to come sit in the office enjoying the taxpayers' money to travel anywhere without taking the responsibility of the office. He has to. See, like, being a president is not a joke. It's a serious work.
Is it being fair to him to say he's not taking the responsibility or not?
So if they are coming to him to complain of the insecurity, even though we're against the governor, every damn thing you run to Abuja, because they are all, it is all eye service. They are afraid of which step they would take that the government would not like. It is this party, this party affiliation. A lot of them. Go check. Now, take for example, when ENSA started in Lagos and they broke some few things, and so Olu went to the president. Did you remember the posture? The president was smiling.
Yeah, but you minimized it by saying they broke a few things. There was major carnage.
Of course.
Based on the ripple effect that. It was not
of
a
course.
Few things.
At the initial stage. Burnt. Yeah. When the entire thing got bad.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that. So the president was smiling. Do you know his smile? Do you know the meaning? At that time, Courtney, they were feeding the president with the fact that, no, it was Tinubu and some few persons in Lagos that were, behind the ENSA stuff. And the president was taking that hook, line, and sinker. Unfortunately, when they broke, his own things, even though he also came out to kind of castigate, ENSA, and Mr. Tinubu himself, until they got to him. This was a serious matter. So, come back here, Kim. I'm saying that the president here, since you said the state should go and act, when they act, you don't have to move against them. So now that
but
the Northwest...
What move have we seen any particular...
I've given you the Southwest example of Amotekun. Now, the Northwest...
But the minute they said it from the state level and legislated, backing it with the requisite law, it was easy for the Southwest
remember,
to come up with their own.
That was what we also advocated for.
Yeah.
Then.
I think that was the grouse at that point.
Yes. No, that was not the grouse. The government didn't want it to happen. The FG didn't want that to happen. But we also said, okay, states, you are right for doing this. However, you must also let... That was my first contribution to the debate then. Maybe the second year, the second year after Garuba Show, brought out that statement to condemn me and what they were doing. So, clearly, I think I was on a number of stations on invitation too. And we said, okay, state, even though we are supporting you here, you're also guilty, you should have also, let there be the backing of the law to this that you're doing, which they later, went ahead to do. However, now that Northwest realized the fact that what we did not support then may be the solution right here, I think they will rather wake up in good time to do this. Now, let's now get to the nitty-gritty of this again. If you're going to formulate this, remember that we are already voting large amount of money to forces to combat insecurity. Now, are you saying that what they will form to fight against what the security forces that we are funded, already being funded to do? Now, what would now be the work of those we are funding from the central post? Now, but when we keep shouting poverty don't just fall. It falls in bits and pieces. By the time you vote some money to a state, say 4 billion naira in a month, And their overhead is already 3 billion, maybe 3.5 in some cases. And they have only 500 million naira left. And that can't even do anything. And they have loan to service. They still want to run another security network. Now, the argument will be, oh, after all, the governor's take in security board. I have said, let us have a law deterring these guys, stopping these guys from taking security board. But that won't do. They won't spend from that. They will be spending from the state purse. And we will increase poverty. And that will again put a lot of growing population out of jobs, and unemployment, and also still push them back to the insecurity. So while we are trying to put forward solution, my job has taught me, you think through the process. Don't just make an announcement. Think through the process. How do we want to fund this policy we are bringing about? So, for me, I will advise that the Northwest, of course, need this, but they should rather sit down with the federal government and let's be on the table. What percentage of the money being voted for insecurity, for security forces, that can be given to each of the zones directly to fund the security network on ground? Whether you like it or not, you are taking the job of the federal government. They shouldn't just fold their hands while you do the job. A lot of times you go to a lot of states, you don't see roads are terribly dilapidated. And most of them are federal government roads. Yet the city and Abuja are taking 51% of the entire resources. So for me, while we are taking, holistic, steps to solve these things, we shouldn't just limit them at the stage of policies. Look at the funding. And let's also talk to those who should fund to fund appropriately.
All right. Lots of thoughts have started coming in, comments in via WhatsApp. We'll open up the phone lines in a bit to hear your thoughts on some of the story. But let's run through some of them. Mike, when wind blows, says that, good afternoon, Kim and our guest in the studio. Guest forgot to mention that when killings were going on in Benue, some people took responsibility for the killing. And even when I had to say the reason for it. Cows being rustled. The government never called the killers or questioned them, let alone prosecution, and to further show the government's attitude, complicit attitude toward this, Mr. President gave a marching order to the IGP to go to the troubled spot. The IGP blatantly ignored the order at that point in time.
Who is that contributor?
Mike when wind blows.
We are coming to his house. DSS will look for him.
David is saying someone is stealing, but his friend says he's picking pocket. The earlier we agree with have a security challenge, the better. Security agents have become a little lazy. Is that being fair to them? Really? And Benatari from the UK. Good to have you back, Ben. Benatari says the federal government can reduce insecurity to a minimum by the simple measure of rebalancing the security architecture to make it more inclusive of all stakeholders, constitute an expanded National Security Council that is reflective of the geopolitical regions and more ethnic nationalities of Nigeria, not just a few. Security should be devolved and localized. Over centralization of security is the reason for the seemingly powerlessness of the security agencies, as well as the insecurity agency or industry has been infiltrated by. Okay, there's just so many use of security, I'm not sure, but it says security agencies. All right, thank you very much. And Virtual from Aso Drive says, please, what's gunmen and what's Yambindiga mean? Are they not the same thing? Well, that's what it means in Hausa, unknown gunmen. Sam from Apo says it is not as much of the governor's or government's reaction to the insecurity. It's the reaction of the victims when you make excuses based on your faith or your region for the poor handling of the government. Insena claims the government would have been forced to resign or be impeached. The Nigerians should wake up from their docility, says Sam. And Mr. Fadikwe is saying now that she's looking hot, can we do Instagram or Facebook Live? That is not going to happen. Not at all. We have another story to look at, but let's get to hear three callers and we go to that story. Hello.
Hello, good day.
Yes, you're welcome.
My name is Jiri.
All right, Jiri, you've got a minute.
Good afternoon to Mr. Kulawole there.
Good afternoon, sir. you have spoken well, you have spoken out of passion. But there's one thing I've not heard from him, that about the service chief. Is it by year of tenure that we should go or by the performance? Because about 12 months ago or 8 months ago, all of our clients, service chief should go. We need new blood. We need new hands. Now, 6 or 8 months have passed with new service chief. Are they performing? If they're not performing, why did they be there? And he was one of the people asking for service chief to go at that time. So he's waiting for after 4 years before he now knows they're performing, not performing. I want to go deep down and look. Security will be taken to the grassroots, and in the purpose and in the work of the state government, not the federal, to make sure that at the grassroots they employ security at the door in the southwest. Lagos State employ community policing in the neighborhood watch, and that put end to all the kidnapping that happened in all the Ibadan area in Lagos.
Thank you so much, Binga. Only a few minutes. Let's hear from two callers, then you respond, and we'll go to the next story. Hello. Hello. Okay, not ready for us, so let's move on. Hello.
Excuse me. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to our guest, Master Kolawale. My name is Salasi.
Good afternoon, Salasi.
I want to commend you for your wonderful analysis, most especially in the aspect of this insecurity. The bandit that kill the Sokoto travelers and set them ablaze, do they collect anything from them? You are talking about insecurity, that the government should do the needful, and the governor has even already come out and said they are not bandits. Then who do this? He said it's after higher assassin. Most of the killings that have been going, did the bandits collect something from people? They don't. They go and let, you know, just like the way we talk about the Benue killings. When the governor was complaining, people started tagging him. People started calling him names. And look at all this now. Even in our country now, we are not safe. From here to Kaduna, you have to be praying and fasting. From here to Niger State, you have to be praying and fasting. May God deliver us from this insecurity. Thank you and God bless.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Well, someone actually dropped a message. Benson was saying that the people who were gunned down in a car in Sokoto State and the vehicle burnt, was anything taken off of them by the bandit? Yes.
I'm very valid. So I think the governor also should be listening. You know, I'm very sure that he has aides, you know, who are putting together and are doing content analysis for him. He should know that he goofed with that, because that blanket statement cannot stand thorough. If you interrogate it further, you of course, it cannot stand. Now, coming back to the first caller that talked about the service chief, I understand. See, I've done some works with some, you know, development agencies who at times, you know, work with government, and I understand that you the structure of government as anywhere in the world is kind of very complex. When you get to an office, before you even understand the terrain, it takes time. Again, you meet a lot of...
But are they not in the system already?
See, Kim, I'm not making excuses, that you know. I don't know any of them. But I understand the fact that what these guys met on ground. For example, whoever would take over from this government, wishing good luck, I bet you. If I just wish the person good luck, because let me not digress much. During the last government that we all crucified, what did Stella, I think it was about 240 million or so, was it 400 million of, you know, vehicles? How much vehicles? That we shouted, yes, until she was removed. How many billions have we shouted under this government? Nobody, they won't remove anybody. I mean, there's no level of incompetence or corruption. But let the government go and let not even an outsider, even inside the same APC, if he's a strong person that want to look deep into the books, a lot of persons will be in jail. I'm not saying that, I mean, with any, I'm saying that, oh, ha. That's a fact. Now, coming back to this, what the kind of rot you that we had on ground, let me use the general word, in a security architecture, even though I don't understand really what that means to date in details, and I've also interrogated that statement a lot of times. We use it a lot of times without even trying to know what exactly you know it means. If you say the structure, oh fine. Now, if you look at a lot of many of those, of course, some of them were not even working together. They were working at cross purposes. You've had cases where the, you know, the naval guys, they would not work such way on ground. But if you notice now, they have solved that. They are working together. When the, you know, when the ground forces are having issues, the area guys, the naval guys, yeah, they come to help. Now, we are making we are making progress. Number two, a lot of officers were disarrayed. I made a statement June 12, 2019, or was it? No, 2018. I said we will have, in few months or in about a year or two down the line, we'll be having a shortage of ends of ground officers. A lot of them will be resigning. That's because at that time, there were many resignation letters at the offices of the different chiefs, but they weren't responding to them because those guys were tired. A lot of them were disoriented and they didn't want to be there again, because even when they wanted to fight, they weren't seeing the push. I made statements like, you see Hiluxes driving around, the new ones driving right here in Abuja, and go to those bushes in the northeast, and they have trucks that they are pushing that can't even move in the middle of a battle. What do you do? How do you roll with that? But things are changing gradually. So while we call for the head of those service chiefs that they should go, who were justified because we're not seeing result, if we start calling for this one now without even giving them time, I think we would not be justified.
All right.
Then that doesn't mean that we will not tell them also to please buckle up and do more. Okay. Of course.
All right then. UAE bows to pressure to give Air Peace seven slot at Dubai Airport. I know we've been having this back and forth where Air Peace was given just one slot. The Nigerian government
retaliated, even though they almost taken out, because you know some things are put on hold. Most of those things that they said they would do, they are on hold.
Mm.
Anyway,
but at least we're seeing the UAE.
But it's good that
extending the slots given to.
Yeah, it's not just about this alone. I remember when Nigerians were being, you know, harassed and killed in Ghana, South Africa. We demanded that the government take action against those people, against those countries. We should also learn to stand our ground, even though they will always have some effect on us. It won't kill us. Mm. We just take it. They have more to lose. Do you know the number of Nigerians going to Dubai every single day? Every single day.
I mean, if you think of the frequency of just one airline, Emirates Airlines,
honestly,
coming to Nigeria, not talking of like Ethiopian Airlines, Kenya Airways, that
just
go
Emirates
down,
alone.
Just Emirates alone. It tells you the
those
back
guys
and
are
forth,
making a lot of money for months. Even the visa fee. Shut them out for 1 month, they will bow. So for me,
so
I
so
commend
this
the government.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity is part of
the
tools in the international relations. See, that space can be hypothetical. It's an hypothetical construct space. It is space for intellectual, you know, dealings, both the, you know, state actors and the non-state actors. Mm. You can't just allow one side to have
a
day.
I had people who were vexed by it, saying, why would you take such a stand over a private business? But if we don't protect our own, who
will? It is not about private. It is not about that airline.
Mm.
It is about
what
the Nigeria factor.
Itself, yeah.
Don't forget that. Was it yesterday that UAE was saying that don't bring Nigerians again to our country?
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to stand tough so that we could back down. I was expecting us to raise tougher sanctions. What exactly is our connection that is feeding the country from Dubai? They are the ones that would lose when their trade is not coming in again. Mm-hmm. When they
because
when they're
really
not getting the holidays,
the back and forth,
who they
Nigerians
spend the money?
The
now where they pack our money, they go spend.
How
our people will not die.
Come here?
Honestly, our people will not die. All of us before, where would they spend our Christmas? Not the village. even though everybody is scared to go to the village, they will not carry you for road. See, this is one thing again we're saying. I calculated the cost. If I have to travel down with my family this season, I'll be hitting a millionaire.
To travel with your family within Nigeria?
Within Nigeria. I'm from Ondo State. the airline is about 50 something. By the time I park the six of us, toll fro, you know what that means again? And if I have to go to my village from, you know, from there again, that is trouble now. And I told myself, boy, you would do very good Christmas in Abuja.
And by road is not an option at the moment.
Of course, now how can you even dream of that?
But there are people who cannot afford the luxury of flying, and they'll be forced to go by road.
Okay. You know the good thing here? There are some persons that if they catch on the road, even the government will tell them to deal with me. You don't know. You bandit anymore. If the kidnappers should get me, and you report to the police, they will be the one to tell them, that guy.
Okay,
I'm not joking.
I would take it as a joke.
So I'd rather not risk it at all.
You saying you're a troublemaker or something?
A lot of persons were looking for our head, though. Honestly.
By class at NGDC situation.
A lot of them.
I know.
And we didn't have to see. We were not planning to stop. We had a lot of agencies. We had worked. There was at least like six of them. We only came out with one. We were to follow up immediately with the maritime. I even made that announcement, like twice, that after this, we are stepping to the maritime industry. But two things made us stop. First is the fact that even if, what are you doing that for? You're doing that for changes to happen, and the government is not ready to make, they were not ready to do anything about that.
All right, we'll get the second point after this quick break.
All right, thank you.
Informative, exciting, and stimulating talk.
Stimulating talk.
Nigeria Info.
Your number one for talk.
Number one for talk.
And talk.
My people, not the only new clothes they make this season, sweetheart. Na Kolapo they make jollof. The full potto. Chicken, good day for sure. But waiting go complete the collabo this season. Now when you arrange the new Go TV Super Package, make laugh for full house for everybody.
Yes, the new Go TV Super Package. That the correct gift for this season, though. You get extra super channels like Africa Magic Urban, Kick, TL Novelas, WWE, Honey Channel, etc. Oh yeah, rush go upgrade to Go TV Super today with only 5,500 naira. Thank you. Your family enjoy the super season. Go TV Super. Love it.
From all of us here at
Informative, exciting, and stimulating talk.
Stimulating talk.
Nigeria Info.
Your number one for talk.
Number one for talk.
And talk.
All right, so you were going to give two reasons. You mentioned one.
The first, I've mentioned the government wasn't ready to do anything, irrespective of how much you cry. So we just felt, so what is the essence of continuing with this? Then two, was becoming extremely risky. I mean, terribly risky.
Fighting corruption is risky in Nigeria, actually.
Yes, generally. But what we were doing, you know, when you just bring out data generally, just the corruption here, but when you're mentioning individuals, you know, the point we went through too, when people trust you, okay, when they trust your antecedent, they can work with you a whole lot. There are still some good persons in government. Those documents we're getting went flying from the sky. Of course, people with good intent who wanted also to change in the system. Of course, because they trusted us. They know that. Because they give a lot of persons information. Those guys go to negotiate with you to fill their pocket. If we wanted to become billionaires, then Kim would have been, as in, clearly without any issue. In fact, clearly without any issue. After some appearances, when we were about, after the Senate appearance, before the House of Rep, there was no temptation that didn't come our way to stop. They didn't want us to go there because they knew that we had a whole lot with us. So a lot of offers there and there, but of course, keep that. By the time you do that once, you are dead. You can't, the moment you collect money once from anybody, you can't raise anything again anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
Even if it is 10, 12 years, 20 years down the line, you are done for. So the best thing is, if you want to stay relevant in this space, do not just try that at all.
Compromise.
You see, you go suffer, Ramu, but just be it. God has a way of recompensing, you know, gradually for you. So, the second thing was, it was becoming too risky. And we went to some very dead extent. We were given account details that monies were paid into. In fact, even the day the time that those money came in, the amount, who got what, who got not. So, because we thought, for once, let's just do something spectacular that will cause a change in government. Thinking that you had a government that was prepared, that is prepared to fight corruption, but of course, no. Mm-mm. I can say that I've proven, as in clean and clear, that this government is not prepared to take on corruption headlong. That you can quote, and I'm ready for any of them to debate me on this.
Mm. Well, anytime I listen to the honorable off your mic sweeper that you have, my mind goes to you because of the work that you people put in there. And it's just sad that we have not seen closure on that particular one.
You only saw me. You had, I mean, we have, I mean, good Nigerians. They were all part of the team, but many of us were scared to come out. So because I was a face, I wasn't the only one. Again, I'm saying thank you to all the members of our team. Thank you to those Nigerians. They came back from UK, three of them, and they start to work on this project. Thank God it was COVID time, and no remuneration from anywhere. I told you our times would be snacking on bread and granite. I mean, of course, we enjoyed our time, but of course, it was really, really rigorous. Thank you to all of them.
Well, thank you very much for that. It will pay off in the near future. I'm confident of that. Thank you so much, Kolawole Johnson, for being on the roundtable with us today.
Thank you.
And for those who are still itching to call, we'll take your contributions after the news. Stay with us.